This is the Bucks Beat, dishing scoops and dropping knowledge about your favorite team.
Inbound pass, he will hand up to Giannis. Look out below. Oh, hide the women and children. Giannis goes flying to the rim.
Stay tapped in with the Bucks Beat.
Hands it off to Green. AJ fires up a transition three, and he drills it. The Bucks have officially re-entered the conversation.
Powered by Bucks Plus, the official podcast network of the Milwaukee Bucks. Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Here's your host, Monis Khan.
Ball lovers, ball knowers, Bucks fans, welcome to another episode of the Bucks Beat. I'm your host, Monis Khan, the editor-in-chief of Bucks Plus, the official podcast network of the Milwaukee Bucks. And here on the Bucks Beat, every week we bring you essential insights and analysis from the people who know the team best, the people on the beat. And this week on the Bucks Beat Blizzard Edition, we have Ty Windisch, host of the Eurostep podcast, joining us. And we're going to talk about Giannis performing huge in a shortened time yesterday in the afternoon against the Indiana Pacers, going down with an injury, hopefully not for too long, but an incredible vintage performance from the Greek Freak. We're going to be talking about the risers and fallers of this Bucks season and whose stock he's holding on to going into the offseason. So a lot to look forward to here on the Bucks Beat. And when Dylan Hunter Carter joins us later on in the show, we're going to be playing Oscars Bucks Edition. And instead of Best Actor, we'll be giving out awards for Best Baller and Best Supporting Baller. So definitely a lot of conversations you're going to want to stay tuned for. And this Bucks season, you know, not necessarily going the way that the Bucks hoped when they set off this season, but they never would have guessed that Giannis would be playing 30-some games by this point of the season. Unfortunately, they do sit 11th in the East right now, outside of the play-in by 5.5 games at 28-39. They've gone on a bit of a skid in their last 10 games, going 2-8 after going 8-2 in February. So with 15 games left, just to give you an idea, the 10th seed Charlotte Hornets are sitting at 500. So if the Bucks want to get to 500, they're going to have to go 13-2 in their remaining 15 games of the season. Otherwise, they're headed to the lottery, where they do have a pick. They'll actually be picking with the worst of the picks between the Pelicans pick and the Bucks pick. So if the Bucks make it into the top three and the Pelicans are sitting at number six where they stand right now, the Bucks will actually have that number six pick, or whatever the Pelicans pick would be, and the Pelicans would get the better pick. And actually, that Pelicans pick goes to the Atlanta Hawks, who are, you know, had a big game against the Bucks last week and are looking like, you know, definitely in the play-in, but even ascending, trying to fight for that sixth seed. So anyways, be very interesting to see where things end up. The Bucks right now have the 10th worst record in the league. And so they but the Bulls have the 9th worst record, and the Bulls are one game different. So the Bucks are basically fighting for the 9th or the 10th at the moment in the worst record in the league. And the Pelicans have the 6th worst record in the league and are probably going to fall between the 6th and 8th worst records in the league. So anyways, it's going to be very interesting to see how things end up for Milwaukee, whether they're able to make this miraculous play-in push or whether they'll be looking forward to a lottery pick in this year's loaded NBA draft. So definitely are going to be discussing both of those scenarios on today's show. Bucks have a big week of games here on WTMJ. You can listen to Dave Kane on the call Tuesday against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're going on the road Thursday against the Utah Jazz. Saturday in a rematch against the Phoenix Suns from a game that they went on last week. And then Monday on the road against the Los Angeles Clippers. And then we'll be back here on the Bucks Beat next Tuesday to uncover it all from every angle. It's going to be a great show this week. Stick around. We'll be back with Ty Windisch, co-host of the Eurostep podcast, when we come back after this break. Welcome back to the Bucks Beat. Thrilled to be joined by one of my favorite podders, co-host of the Eurostep podcast, Ty Windisch. Thank you so much, Ty, for joining me today. Thank you for joining on the Bucks Beat.
Otis, thanks for having me on the esteemed Bucks beat. I'm honored and I'm excited to talk some Milwaukee Bucks basketball with you.
I mean, nobody better. No, these two, this duo, Atai and Rohan, they're working hard, man, covering this team from every angle. That's why we love having, we had Rohan earlier this season. Thrilled to have Ty in his Bucks beat debut. Ty, we were just reminiscing because it's been a tough season. The Milwaukee Bucks, they sit at 28-39. I don't think I would have been able to have those expectations. Obviously, Giannis missing a lot of games, and we were reminiscing about 2021. And I want to ask you this quick question. If you could put two players in Bucks history on that, in recent Bucks history, on that 21 team, so that they too could have a championship ring and be part of that team. You know, it was sad. We talked about Wes Matthews. So I think he's a perfect example of a player that Bucks fans would have loved to have had on that team so he could have won a championship. If you could put a player on that team, I'm just going to start my favorite player, my favorite Bucks player, a player that I think would fit in amazing on that team, definitely deserving. I don't know if he was in the NBA in 2021, Ersan Ilyasova.
Nice.
Absolutely my favorite Buck. Holds a special place in my heart forever. Ersan, I think, would have loved to have seen him on that team. Ty, who are some of your players that you would have loved to see on that team?
So I'll stick with Wes Matthews. He's my number one. And I'll describe why on both. But two guys who were sandwiched around that team, and I think both really had a lot to do with building up the culture of that team. I'll add George Hill as well, who I actually think flies under the radar for how much he brought. I mean, literally the picture perfect backup point guard. And shout out to Jeff Teague, who got an A on the group project and did his job in that run for sure. They got it done without those guys. But George Hill had so many big games, especially in his first Bucks stint. So it would have been great if he and Wes were on that team as well. They got it done anyway, but you look back, I mean, PJ Tucker was like, what, the starting two? I mean, they could have used some guard play. They could have used one of those guys. They got it done. But those guys both deserve. I would love if they had been included as well in one.
Yeah, they deserve immortality as Milwaukee Bucks. You know, great Bucks. As a Bucks fan, every Bucks fan across every generation has these role players who they will love forever, who have their respect forever. And there's no better moment, obviously, than winning an NBA championship. And it doesn't make Wes Matthews, George Hill, Ersan's tenure with the Bucks. Zaza is another guy. A big culture guy. And this is kind of strange because I don't know. He might have been on the Bucks one or two seasons. They might have been the worst team in the league. Jared Dudley. I'm convinced that Jared Dudley and Jared Bayless not only were the most ethical 10 commanders in Milwaukee Bucks history and gave us the karma to earn that number two overall pick, they also somehow, I just am convinced, somehow they helped establish this Milwaukee Bucks culture that has endured for the last decade plus. I don't know. Do you think, Ty? Do you think about those two in particular, the Jareds?
Those two and then Uncle Juice, where, you know, some things happen, OJ Mayo, but Giannis still credits him as a great veteran. The Bucks kind of shedded all those veterans. Remember that year, they're like, oh, we're going to the youth movement. These guys are ready. And they weren't ready. The Bucks really struggled with that Greg Monroe signing after they got rid of those guys. I think they did a ton. I mean, one of the best calls in Bucks history, what is it? Pashke, I think, said like, happy birthday, Jason Kidd. This place is up for grabs. Was that the Jared to Jared under the basket play? Like Jared Bayless under the basket, which is insane. But those guys were great vets. I totally agree with you on them. Zaza's a great call. John Henson came to mind. I thought John Henson gave a lot to the Bucks. And I will add also, I think people have mixed feelings about kind of how he left. But I would say Jabari Parker. I think Jabari Parker gave a lot to the team. People forget he was the Batman to Giannis's Robin. That didn't last long. But he was the first catalyst that really got this fan base going again. I remember that draft was a real moment. I watched live like his remarks at the public market when they first picked him. Like that was an exciting thing for a team that had not had much excitement in a while.
I mean, on the future. And that's exactly what happened. And Jabari Parker, I just refuse to call his NBA career a bust because he averaged 20 points a game in the NBA for a season. And and as a Bucks fan, there was about over a decade between Michael Redd and Giannis where I don't think anyone averaged 20 points a game. And so, you know, Brandon Jennings wasn't able to do it, and he was pretty prolific. You wanted to see guys get there, but that was a bar for me that I always wanted to see someone be able to exceed. Jabari was able to do it in a calendar year NBA season for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I, you know, the injuries, you, I saw a picture of his knee the other day in Europe.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just what I would just chalk up how short his NBA career, how his NBA career was too short. And I would just chalk it up as being a result of injuries.
People forget that last year before the second, I think it was the second ACL, he looked like the modern, like some version of like a blend between the Jays and Boston. Like he was kind of a 3.5 who really got downhill and the three ball came along. He was like 37% from three. And it really felt like, oh man, Chris, Giannis, Jabari, this is like, we have a young big three locked up, and it just sucks how it went with him. Obviously the Bucks, I think, did the right thing to pivot, you know, and kind of brought in the other guard talent. But there was a moment in time there where if he stays healthy, and maybe he just never was going to, but if he did in that universe, I kind of think they're just like dynastic, because he was awesome. I mean, he went number two for a very good reason.
That was one of those drafts, Andrew Wiggins, Jabari, Joel Embiid, where the hype was just extraordinary. You got it in the Wemby draft. Yeah. I don't know how many since then. You know, the Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, that didn't have that level of hype. I mean, they were looking at Jabari and Wiggins as being like the two most can't-miss prospects in a generation. And the Bucks were just, you know, we're lucky as fans that we got to be a part of that in a big way. We had the worst record, and we lucked out in a sense to get at least the number two pick. Didn't feel like we were going to go Joel Embiid. I mean, we probably would if we had the three, which, you know, another alternative universe can tell us what that would have meant for this team. But he didn't play for like the first 2 years of his NBA career. So
yeah,
this is how much fun, Bucks Beat fans, listeners, this is how much fun Ty and I are having today on the Bucks Beat. We'll be back after this quick break. We're going to be talking about Giannis. We're going to be talking about a lot of these star players on the Bucks, and, you know, whose stock we're going to be holding on to going into the offseason. And we'll be back with Ty Windisch after this break. Welcome back to the Bucks Beat. Thrilled to be joined by Ty Windisch, co-host of the Eurostep podcast. Ty, you got to explain this to me. One of the favorite things I look out for after a Bucks game is your stock tracker. So what's going on? What do those numbers mean? There's like the name followed by a number. And then I want to break down each person's stocks. But to explain this tracker to me, is it unscientific? That's what I'm guessing.
It's relatively unscientific. We've built, Rohan and I collaborate every single game. We message throughout the game. And around the end, we determine what the stock prices are. So we started this a couple of years ago now. It's actually been several years. We wanted a way to kind of grade every player on the Bucks on an ongoing basis. But I think some of the other ways, like Andy Herman of the Pack-A-Day pod, does like a very scientific mathematical grade. I don't think that works at basketball. And frankly, we don't have the time to like watch and rewatch all 82 to fully do that scientifically. And then like PFF, same deal. People hate it, but they fully grade every play. It's just too much. So we do more of a broad, and the player's current value factors in. So like people will go, okay, Giannis had 30 and 10. Why didn't he get an upstock? His price is like double anybody else. Like it's his standard is higher. Whereas if someone who's not playing well just has like a nice 10-point game with a couple of rebounds and a steal, no turnovers, they might get a quote unquote upstock. So we track it. We've been tracking it for years. Giannis, of course, always ends up number one. We do an IPO to start every year is our fun little thing. So it's actually, I feel like this year people have been more invested in it than any year since like the first couple we did it. I feel like there's a little like, okay, which point guard is going to come out on top? Who else is rising and falling? And I just feels like there's a couple players, and maybe it's just the team, the results have not been what fans hope for. So that maybe it's just more frustration generally, but I'm getting more of like, how is this guy's value here? And this guy's here. And it's like, well, we're human, but I think it's a helpful way for us to kind of contextualize long season results, especially looking at the trends of like, oh wow, this player just got three upstocks in a row, which is the case for Ryan Rollins right now after an earlier slump in his season.
And, you know, I want to talk about Giannis's game last night. It felt like a microcosm of the season. First of all, in 23 minutes, I mean, can we just take a moment? Yeah, and against the Pacers, but 31 points, 14 rebounds, and 8 assists in 23 minutes. The man, since returning from injury, 6 games now in limited minutes, in 27 minutes, he's averaging 26 points a game. So literally, there's no quit in this man. He only does what he does all the time. And this season is no different, even though it's been upended by injury in a way that no other Giannis season has ever been. Can you talk to me about yesterday's performance? What did you like to see, what you were seeing out of Giannis? And what are you hoping to see if we get more of him in with what's left of the season? What do you want to see more of from him?
Yeah, I really like the way he played yesterday versus the game before when he also had maybe 30 points. I mean, he really lit up the scoring and has been able to do so. That's been, I think, one of the most impressive parts about his game is often he's been flagged by, I'd said more outside of Milwaukee media as, oh, the athleticism's going to go and then he's gone. You know, I think he's really gutted it out and showed his skill level and size combo is so strong that even if he doesn't have all of his burst, he can be an elite scorer. But what I loved against the Pacers, he had 8 assists in the 23 minutes, and he really was opening up great shots from the get-go to his teammates, whereas maybe this is the feeling out process of him returning. You know, earlier in his return, some of these games, it kind of just felt like, okay, I'm going to get to the rim. Now my stint is over. And I believe Doc Rivers said something along the lines of, you know, he's trying to fit a whole game into like 5-minute chunks because that's the reality of the harsh reality of a minutes restriction. This one felt really balanced that he was able to have that overall offensive impact. And I'm hoping that if he is all good with the potential hyperextension, Giannis just diagnoses his own injuries. Now he really does it all. I would love to see a little bit more of the movement on defense from him. But I think offensively, he had about a perfect game against Indiana. Jalen Slauson, if you're unfamiliar with his game, I'm guessing he usually looks better than that, but as the primary Giannis cover, he had a tough day against the Bucks.
And Ty, what, you know, when we look forward to 2026, 2027, you know, the Bucks have been able to convince Giannis over and over again to stay. He really is open to being convinced. He loves this city. He doesn't want to leave. He just wants to know that the organization is as committed to winning as he is. And that's tough for organizations to continue to spend into the tax with, you know, with limited pieces. And it's, you know, so we don't know exactly where things are going to go from both the organization level and a Giannis level going into the offseason. But in terms of building a team around Giannis at this stage of his career, you know, 5 years ago, it was an off-ball point guard, elite point of attack defender. It was a guy like Chris Middleton, elite, basically clutch shooter, closing moments of the shot clock, doesn't really need a lot, you know, it doesn't really, it's not asking for more touches, you know, it's kind of like that selfless team guy long on the wing. Brooke Lopez, you know, can shoot from anywhere, but also protect the rim. Has that changed at all now that Giannis is beginning to evolve his game a little bit? It really feels like a ball-dominant point guard is not necessarily – that's just one prototype player that I just don't know if it's the best fit around Giannis. I'm just curious your thoughts on the building a team around him at this stage of his career.
Yeah, it's really interesting because I think you've got some pieces under contract in – especially Ryan Rollins, who you look at and on the right night, especially when he's kind of meshing well with Giannis, you go – could that just be the point guard? And maybe there's just some more reinforcements added on the wing. Like, you know, when Rollins or KPJ, either one, Kevin Porter Jr. are playing well, and when Usman Jang and or Kyle Kuzma are filling it up, you kind of see this blueprint of like, okay, like either can these guys get more consistent or can the Bucks find players who can do this more consistently, you know, with these draft picks and contracts and, you know, salary flexibility they have coming up. I don't think they're really that far. You know, I think Miles Turner is about as close, and we've seen the rebounding is a little different, but he's a lot more athletic and can switch more, about as close as you can get to that Brooke Lopez fill-in. You've got some two-way players. You've got a lot of shooting and AJ Green and Torian Prince with a player option. He's back, which is awesome. And he filled it up yesterday as well against Indiana. So I think for me, it's not as much as they need the point guard or they need the wing player. They need the Chris Middleton. Maybe they'll get Chris Middleton himself, but more of an Apex Prime version of that player. But I think they just need one of them. And I think for me, it's more about the fit with the other pieces here. Because I do think, you know, they're not a team like OKC or these other teams where it's like, okay, there's 15 draft picks. We're going to redo the whole roster now. Or we're going to draft 10 guys and see what happens. I think it's more about, okay, maybe we don't have a perfect team right now. Clearly the results are what they are for this season. But we do have some pieces we like, and we kind of need to maximize those pieces. We can't go to the store and get the whole new golf bag, right? We need to get a new wedge that's going to kind of fill in between our existing wedge and our 9-iron. You can tell I'm ready for the thaw, and I'm looking at this stuff on Facebook Marketplace. So that's it for me is I agree with you. I don't think it's got to be like the John Morant kind of on ball all the time point guard. I think we've seen some really interesting stuff with Giannis handling more, Rollins screening for him in the last couple of games. So I would love to bring in a kind of player who can slot alongside those two, give him some more size, positional versatility, and, you know, handle the ball a bit, like really idealized Usman Jang, which maybe he keeps improving and it's just him, right? But more players like that. I think in the modern league, you look at OKC, you look at Boston, you look at Spurs, like Spurs are kind of their guards, but they play like wings. It's like wing size players who can defend and be physical, rebound, the rebounding year. This has been the year of like, oh, it actually is important to get boards. So I'm looking at more that than like your true ones, your true Lillard kind of players, which are hard to find anyway. But it seems like the game is kind of skewing bigger than those guys at the moment, to me at least.
Yeah, when we come back, we're going to talk about Ryan Rollins, his resilience this season, and how much room he has left to grow. So we'll be back here on the Bucks Beat. We're talking to Ty Windish, and we'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to the Bucks Beat. Thrilled to be joined by Ty Windish, co-host of the Eurostep podcast. And Ryan Rollins this season, he's gone through it all. I thought at some point that he had hit a wall. He has never played this many minutes. He has never played this long into the season. And yet he bounces back. And his game is growing as a playmaker. He's really, you know, showing a new skill that was showing flashes throughout the season, but now has been there consistently night in and night out. How much room does he have left to grow? Do you think he can make another jump?
Yeah, I do. And I think the next jump, you know, it's not going to be the same raw stats. I mean, I guess if he wants to average like 35 or something next year, I'd be all for it. But I think the jump for him will be probably increasing the level a little bit, but the consistency. And that's really the difference between good and great players, right? Is you catch the right guy in the right night and it's like, wow, did Corey Brewer just have 50 points? What, does this guy average 35? Like, no, you know, that's the difference is how often can you do it? Any NBA player can look great on a given night, but how often can you, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, right? The Wilt thing. Did something since Wilt. 20 point per game streak, and it was in jeopardy and he got it at the very end of their last game, but it's still on. But that's for Rollins. I don't know if he's going to break a Wilt Chamberlain record, but you know, can we avoid the skids? And some of it is injury. I had reported he was dealing with plantar fascia, and then it was confirmed by the Bucks injury report around the All-Star break. He kind of got some time off around then. Hard to say if that's still bothering him or not. My gauge is Rollins really does not want to be like, you know, listed or missing games or, you know, give any excuses. He just wants to go out there and produce, which I think is admirable. But just the consistency and the decision-making, some of the passing, to your point, these last three games where he's gotten these three up stocks on our stock thing, his decision-making has been effective and he's gotten paint touches and then sprayed out those passes. That's really something that KPJ has done better than him, that KPJ has really excelled at this year. But they need everyone to do that more. Healthy teams get to the paint offensively. And you just saw against Indiana, the Bucks offense looked great. Everyone's scoring. Three players have 7 or 8 assists, I think. Kuzma also has been good at that this year. So it's really that. His shot has been elite all year. I think he's one of the 10 best three-point shooters on high volume this year, which kind of took me by surprise because he doesn't necessarily always pour in the threes. And a lot of those are step back looks. He's still at 41%, I think, which is an elite number on 200, 300 plus attempts for him. The defense has been really good. And you saw him get it ISO against Dyson Daniels, one of the best defenders in the league against Atlanta. And it was like, okay, like he had a down period in this year, but there's a lot of potential there. There's not a lot of guys who can dice up Dyson a couple of times, you know. That was beyond impressive. So I think there's a lot to his bag. For me, it's the fact that he can finish at the rim. He can pull up from two. He's got the step back. He's got the step back three. Then the catch and shoot three. That's a really rare combo. You look at a lot of even effective scoring guards. They don't have all of that to their game the way Rollins does. So I do think there's another level. I do love that he's just getting a lot of reps. I think he's going to be one of the guys to watch down the year, no matter what's going on with the standings, just to see how much more can he tap into and start building on now for next season when he's going to be used to playing this heavy minutes load and handling the ball and all these other things.
And that's why, ladies and gentlemen, you got to listen to the Eurostep podcast. You got to follow Ty Windisch on social media and Rohan, his co-host, because this is the level of analysis that you get. This is why we love having you on, both of you, and very grateful for you, Ty, joining us today. We'll be back with more with Dylan Hunter Carter, the producer of Here District, to talk about the Oscars. And we're doing a special segment of the Bucks. We're Bucksifying these Oscar ceremonies. Instead of Best Actor, we're doing Best Baller and Best Supporting Baller. That will be right after this break. Welcome back to the Bucks Beat. Thrilled to be joined by my partner in crime on Here District, producer Dylan Hunter Carter. Dylan, thanks so much for joining me. I hope you're enjoying your snow day today.
Yes, sir. Beautiful day in Milwaukee. I love a fresh coat of snow. I won't like it tomorrow when it becomes ice, but we'll take it.
So, Dylan, have you had to go outside? I know you got a pup. So, like, have you had to, you know, weather this storm?
I braved it to get my dog outside, but honestly, he gives me the energy I need because this guy loves to prance around in the snow like a maniac. So even though I don't want to go out, he does. So we make it work.
Well, I'm happy you got out there. I hope you enjoyed it yourself. I'm happy you got some fresh air. And now, Dylan, in honor of the Oscars, right? Yesterday, last night was the Oscars in which all of Hollywood was feted. And I'm just curious, before we begin doing our Bucks version of the Oscars, what was your reaction? What was the surprise of the night for you?
The surprise of the night, that's tough because honestly, I felt like this was the most telegraphed award in years. I guess the biggest pleasant surprise was that even though Timothée Chalamet was campaigning for quite a while and got himself in a little trouble along the way, he seemed like the favorite for a long time. And then Michael B. Jordan comes in there for the best lead actor role and it gets that win. So I thought that was well deserved for one of the best actors of this generation for sure.
And I mean, Michael B. Jordan in Sinners had to play two roles. So no one had a more challenging acting responsibility than Michael B. Jordan. And the fact that everyone was talking about Timothy and Leonardo like the whole season, for I was genuinely surprised. It felt like he was genuinely surprised when he won. So that was a really amazing moment. And now I want to pivot to talking about our Bucks version of the Oscars, in which I would like for you to name, speaking of Michael B. Jordan, best actor, I would like you to name best baller on the Bucks, but with the caveat, Dylan, you know, Giannis, unfortunately, although he's had an amazing season, another all-NBA caliber season when he's been on the court, he's only played in 36 games this season. So I want to focus on the guys who have been played 60-plus games, 50-plus games. And so who would you say is the best baller for this Bucks season of those?
Sure. So taking Giannis out of the equation, taking KPG out of the equation because of these injuries, and thinking about who is the lead role, right? At this point, it's going to be who has the ball in their hands. And this season, it's been most improved candidate Ryan Rollins. I think that he has to take that trophy this year because if we want to talk about Michael B. Jordan getting it done in two different roles, two different ways, well, Ryan Rollins is that two-way star for the Bucks, where he's one of their best perimeter defenders, one of the best defensive playmakers on the team, but he's also taken huge strides as an offensive engine for this team. He has the ball in his hands quite often, but he also knows how to play measured, you know, get the ball out of his hands at times, create for others when he needs to, and then spot up for threes. He's been clutch. He's been consistent, and I understand it's been a little bit of an up-and-down year for him, but we have to remember this guy's still really young and just came into a ton of responsibility this year. So given the way that he probably didn't even expect this role to be as advanced as it has been this year, excellent performance all around. Hats off to Ryan Rollins.
Yeah, and you know, they say that every character in a film needs to grow as the film unfolds. And that's what we've seen with Ryan Ronson. What I really appreciate is just that resiliency that you referred to, his ability to go through slumps, but bounce back and continue to make an impact. It's, at some points, it felt like he kind of hit that wall, playing the most minutes, playing the most games in his young NBA career. But he's continuing to make a difference. And as a playmaker, I think 7 of the last 8 games or something like that, he's had over 8 assists. So anyways, just on a real hot streak to end the season. And Dylan, you know, a Guy Rollins, maybe we would have predicted before the season he would be in the running for best supporting baller of the season. But now that he has been named best baller of the season, who do you have as the best supporting baller of the season for the Bucks?
Well, this is a tough one. This is a little bit deeper because ultimately, if you look at the way that this roster was constructed, almost all of these guys were designed to be supporting roles. And just the way that the season has gone, things have kind of fluctuated. So 2 guys I'll give a quick shout out to: Kyle Kuzma. He's been willing to just adjust within his role and support the team however he has to. He's changed his play style up. He's taken, you know, a different approach this year. So shout out to him. Miles Turner as well. I think Miles Turner probably had different expectations for what his role would be this year, and through the fluctuations and figuring out this rotation, what they need. He's also been someone who's played that flex role for them. But ultimately, I think I have to give that award to the one, the only, Bobby Portis, the man with the plan, the steady ship of the Milwaukee Bucks, that 6th man of the year contender every single year. And frankly, he's been hosed a couple times. I think he deserves that thing. But honestly, Bobby, he's the one who comes off the bench. He steadies the boat. He's willing to do what it takes, whether Giannis is there or not. Sometimes that means he's starting. Sometimes he's coming off the bench. Sometimes he's only playing 10, 15 minutes, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. So shout out Bobby, because that man's a legend here.
A total legend, definitely deserving. Really outstanding season from Bobby. Let me see. He is averaging really a career, could be a career year. 46% from 3 this season. I mean, playing in 64 games, 15 laps. So he's been playing all season. Availability is the best ability. And so really worthy of that honor. Thank you, Dylan. And thank you, Dylan, for playing that game with me. And when we come back here on the Bucks Beat, we'll be chatting about the exclusive interview with Mark Spears, senior writer for ESPN's Anscape. That's going to premiere on Here District Tuesday, March 17th. So Tuesday morning, you won't want to miss this. We'll be back right after the break. Welcome back to the Bucks Beat. Thrilled to be joined by Dylan Hunter-Carter. And Dylan, an amazing Hall of Fame guest on Here District this week. Mark Spears, senior writer of ESPN's Anscape. If you don't know, Here District is the official podcast of the Milwaukee Bucks, airs every week on the Bucks official YouTube channel. And Dylan produces the show, hosted by Marcus Johnson and his son, Chris Johnson. Dylan, a lot we went through in that recording with Mark. I was just wondering what your major takeaways were.
Well, there's a couple here, right? So first of all, I think that Mark was an incredible guest for this point in the season because he's someone who's covered the league and the game for so long and has seen a lot of different situations who can help us make sense of this Bucks season. The biggest takeaways for me were his accountability, I think, up front, and him acknowledging immediately that, you know, he went out on ESPN and he said some stuff about the Bucks and what he thought Giannis's future in Milwaukee was going to be and whether he thought Giannis had played his last game in a Bucks jersey. And guess what? That was not Giannis's last game in a Bucks jersey. So with that being said, Mark came out here. He acknowledged it up front. He said, hey, I work for ESPN, the entertainment sports network. So sometimes he's got to get his takes off, right? And, you know, whether we like them or not, well, I'll leave that up to you guys. But frankly, Mark himself is a really genuine guy and a student of the game. There's a reason he's a Hall of Famer. And so he had a really nuanced take about how, you know, even though there's all this chatter this season, the grass isn't always greener. And he thinks that Giannis can feed into this legacy of all-time great players who've done it with one franchise. He talked about Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, Dirk Nowitzki, Steph Curry, presumably, right? So I think that conversation was probably my favorite part, but it was a sprawling convo. The other stuff I really liked was his take and the nuance of them going back and forth about Bam Adebayo scoring 83. Stick to the end of that Here District episode to hear for that part, because it was a very funny and interesting way to kind of go about that conversation, which has definitely been a hot take around basketball culture right now.
And it's so amazing because as wide and deep as Mark's coverage of the NBA and basketball in general all over the world technically is, he covers the Bucks probably more thoroughly than any other national NBA writer. This season alone, in the last 2 months, he did a profile on Doc Rivers. He did a profile on Ryan Rollins. And one moment that really struck out to me was Mark's, the way in which Mark is able to open up with these guys and talk about sensitive subjects that they really are not comfortable speaking about in other circumstances. He talked to Ryan Rollins about how his time in Washington for playing for the Wizards ended, a subject that just has not come up before, but has been something that people have sort of spoken about and wondered. I think that's fair to say. And Mark said, you know, it all comes down to how you ask the question. And he just asked him to say, hey, you tell me, like, what happened at the end of your time in Washington? And I just thought, wow, what a great tip for all of our storytellers out there, aspiring storytellers out there. Dylan, Mark has also done an amazing job basically speaking to half of the lottery so far, even before the NBA draft combine, in a draft that looks like it's going to be full of a generational talent. I'm curious whether their discussion got you higher on anyone that they were talking about than maybe you were before.
They got me a little higher on the guy who is actually competing with Marcus and Chris to try and become the second part of a father and son duo to win a national championship at the same school. So that's Cameron Boozer, right? Son of Carlos Boozer. This guy has been skyrocketing up charts over the last couple of years. He's someone who in high school was getting his highlights going viral. And as time has gone on, I think people have soured on him a little bit because maybe there are some limitations that they see, or they think maybe he doesn't have as much upside as a Darren Peterson or whoever. But frankly, this is a guy who I think is super mature, has a very high basketball IQ, and is ready to come in immediately and compete. And frankly, their context and the conversation around him, that definitely changed my perception a little bit and made me think, huh, maybe I would take this guy number one, because sometimes you just need a steady presence where you know what you're going to get and allow them to keep building off of that foundation of being such an incredible prospect.
I mean, I think it was even fair for Mark to say, for a guy who's like 25, a dozen rebounds, you know, 4 assists a game, fair of Mark to say, this might be the greatest, not only freshman season in the history of Duke basketball, but it might be the greatest freshman season in NCAA history. I mean, I don't know enough about NCAA history to corroborate, but what a statement from a guy who knows a lot more than me, Hall of Famer Mark Spears, on Here District this week. Thank you, Dylan. Always a pleasure having you. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this week's Bucks Beat. We'll be back here Tuesday, next Tuesday, after a few Bucks games. They're going on the road. They're going on a West Coast road trip trying to pick up a few wins. They got to go 13-2 in order to break 500 and have a chance to play in. Otherwise, we might be talking a lot more about these draft prospects this offseason. Thanks again for Ty Windisch joining us from the Eurostep podcast. Excited to catch up with everyone. Stay warm. And until then, have a great night.